so much sugar coursing through my body.
That's because you made a teenage girl make you boba.
Yes, and she picked the ingredients.
I feel like I'm at equivalent sugar with you because I had a Vietnamese iced coffee.
Oh, those are intense. The condensed milk.
So welcome, listeners, for a very sugar high podcast, which is appropriate because we're going into the season of gluttony.
This is true.
We are recording the week of Thanksgiving. You will be hearing this after Thanksgiving, but we're still pre-Thanksgiving, so we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving.
You're not going to Whole 30 during Thanksgiving?
No, I purposely did Whole 30 because I had a doctor's appointment, so I was trying to, like, clean out my body before my doctor's appointment, and now I have my doctor's appointment, so it's all gluttony and sugar from here on out.
Was it another hot doctor?
No, my hot doctor's gone because he's appearing shirtless on TV sitcoms.
God. What?
I know. The issues of having an LA doctor. What's been going on with you?
Let's see. Well, it's a one-year anniversary of the election.
Yeah. I've been feeling pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
I've been feeling like shit.
I've been feeling like I was thinking about this, and I think I put a Facebook post about it being 1 year since election. And it was a very traumatic year, but I feel really solid about the way other people have been stepping up to hold community with me. And people who have been making art with me and people who have been holding me safe and people who have been conversing with me. And it felt really good. Like, it was a really transformative year because there were some people in my life who I just had no time for because they weren't holding me in the way I needed to be held. Mm-hmm. So I actually did lose a few friends this year, but I also felt like I gained a lot of new friends this year.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
There's this way that, like, I'm always, like, envious is the wrong word, but, you know, I guess grateful that you have this, like, really gorgeous activist community.
Yeah.
And then I get to hear about it once a month.
They're your community, too. They think of you as part of their community.
No, and I do as well. But, like, I'm not on the ground with you guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not at those meetings with you guys. I'm in the entertainment world. You know what I mean? Like, in between. Like, I'm there on social media. But to, like, be physically present with you guys in that work, you know, each time I see you, I can see its effect on you.
Yeah. I'm not actually going to a lot of meetings. This year was also me spending a lot of time sitting in front of the TV and Netflixing.
Okay, see, I'm doing that.
Yeah. So you're in community with us because you're doing that. It's just that I'm Netflixing Christmas movies.
So then why am I so sick all the time?
I don't know. What happened?
Like, I was thinking about the anniversary of the election because so many of my friends got some life-threatening health problems.
Yeah.
Like, all at once.
No, yeah, absolutely. Like, there's been so much toxicity happening. I think that's also why I've been so particular about making sure that I've been working out and doing Whole30, and I've been taking, like, vitamin supplements, you know, all these things just to take care of my body because it is really taxing on your physical being.
Interesting. I have been eating at midnight and staying up till 3 and living crouched over my phone. And I'm wondering if maybe that has something to do with not feeling well.
Maybe.
Maybe. Nah. Anyways, my hair looks really good right now. I got it done. And that's what's been going on for me. Oh, also, I do want to mention, I was interviewed in Aliyah Janjua's podcast, Confessions of Successful Asian Women.
How was that?
Fantastic. It was a fantastic conversation. And you should definitely listen to it. You can find a link for it on our homework links. And it was a really great conversation. And I actually, like, discovered a lot about myself in the midst of that conversation, which is, like, the best kinds of interviews.
Yeah, cool. I need to listen to it. We were also both interviewed in two pretty awesome media outlets recently. We were in Self Magazine talking about sex, and we were in Glamour Magazine talking about dating. And we actually recorded both in the same day, so it was a very long day. But I kind of loved both titles. I don't remember what the titles were, but I remember one was Date Whoever the F You Want. And I was like, yes, that's, like, the title that I'm drawn to.
The other title was Pregnancy Scares in Elementary School.
Yes, which sounds so wrong and clickbaity, but it was great. I loved how clickbaity both titles were. So if you haven't checked it out, be sure to check both of them out.
Both are completely unique.
To our usual interviews.
Yeah, and from each other.
Yeah, absolutely. What did you think?
I really appreciated that. I really appreciated that, like, we live in a time where you can talk about sex as a woman and it's not the same 5 sound bites.
Yeah. And you can talk about sex as a Muslim woman and dating as a Muslim woman and have very different perspectives.
Yes. You know what else is really nice? Speaking of positive things, now that I'm doing that, it's also really nice not having to demand legitimacy as 2 Muslim women.
Expand more on that.
I feel like, at least this was true for me, When we first started out the podcast, I very much felt like I kept having to demand space as a Muslim woman.
Yeah, like, why do you exist? Why does this podcast exist?
Why does this podcast exist? How Muslim are you? Are you Muslim enough to have a podcast about being a Muslim woman?
Yeah. Now we get to talk about actual things without having to validate our Muslimness, which is kind of fun. We're just normal.
Right?
We're just having normal talk.
Oh, my God.
What? How times have changed. I've had a really wild past 4 weeks since we last recorded. I spoke on a panel at Collaboration, which is this Asian American event that happens nationally once a year. So I did a panel for that here in Los Angeles. I went down to San Diego. I was on the jury for the San Diego Asian Film Fest. And I'll talk more about that later, but that was a lot of fun. I was sitting at a table with some of the people that won, but they didn't know they won, and I knew they won. And it made it a lot of fun to see them go on stage and getting really surprised. I didn't realize how much fun that would be, but it was a blast. Hmm. And then I just got back from Lake Arrowhead, where I hung out at an event that brought together actors and activists. It was put together by Soze Group and Harness. And Harness is the group that Wilmer Valderrama and America Ferrera started a year ago. And gosh, that was like so bizarre. On Saturday night, we had a dance party. So there was a moment where like it was like all my activist crushes and all my actor crushes were all dancing together on the dance floor. And I was like, what is happening right now? Why is America Ferrera dancing next to Fabiana Rodriguez? What is happening?
That's awesome.
It was awesome. It was so awesome.
I can't wait to hear more about that.
Yeah. I didn't actually tweet about this weekend, though, because we were told not to social media this weekend. So I'm not quite sure how much I can share with the rest of you. But for people who are following, you can check out I Am Harness and all their social media to kind of learn more about this amazing organization and see what Wilmer and America are up to. And I can be on a first name basis with those two now.
That's amazing.
Yes. All right. So Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is coming up. Zara, what are your plans? You're now like officially moved to LA. You know, you're not going to be at your parents' house anymore. How's it feel?
Never say never. okay, the Muslim ban 3.0 and Thanksgiving are connected for me.
That's interesting.
Because, like, being a part of a diaspora, you know, as Iranians, we came here, we got stuck here, couldn't go back for a while. And then now I really can't go back. And the family that I have over there, there was this gorgeous period of time where it was like, oh, my God, they can just, like, regularly come and visit. There was like one visit to get us used to that beauty of like, oh my God, this is my real aunt. And then not. So there's this like really beautiful bittersweetness where I celebrate the holidays like Thanksgiving at my sort of diaspora family's house.
Right. And you've been doing this for years.
Yeah. Since I was a little kid, like they were my cousins.
Yeah.
And my aunts and uncles. And I always hated it when I would have to clarify for people that they're not my real aunts and uncles.
Yeah.
It was like, ugh, but it is the same thing. And then all of us collectively also have that experience of being disconnected from our family. And one of my uncles, my diaspora uncle, his entire family was in the earthquake.
Oh my gosh, the earthquake that just happened?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Hundreds of people have died in that
400,
one.
400, something like 400.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
It's so big.
And there's this way that like we all come together and are there for each other. And it's really incredible when, like, this is, it's a rare thing when you can say that you're going to a holiday dinner with family and you can't wait because everybody's on the same page with your politics.
Yeah.
How often can we say that? You know, people always are thinking about, oh, I have to talk to my family about Trump or something, right? And I don't have to do that. Like,
yeah.
They all get it. So it's beautiful to see them, and it's also heartbreaking.
Yeah. So for my family, we're hosting Thanksgiving this year, which is a really big deal. We used to host Thanksgiving every year. My mom used to have this big turkey platter. And then we shifted to my aunt's house after my mom passed away.
And the oven broke. Yeah.
Yeah, the oven broke after my mom died. So we got a new oven recently. And we wanted to do it at our house. And we're opening up our house to family to come over. And I don't know, we're kind of excited. We're making our list of things to make. None of it is Indian style. Or brown people style. It's all going to be white people food.
Or you're going to go straight up like?
Straight up white people. We're going to do straight up like cranberry sauce out of the can.
Oh,
and
damn.
Just slice it up.
This is reminding me. This is taking me back.
Our gravy always comes out of the bottle. Nothing is like, this isn't like fancy Bon Appetit Thanksgiving. This is like straight up Kmart style Thanksgiving.
The like corporate pilgrim colonial decimator.
Oh, yeah.
Experience in a can.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'll have some stories after this weekend. Follow my Twitter for that.
I know what real pilgrims did because my pilgrim infidel husband.
He married into the pilgrim family.
He traces his family back that far.
Impossible.
I know. It's probably a lot of incest. Just guessing.
Just be careful with your children.
Yeah, right. But he has like a really solid immune system.
Yeah, that's the Viking side.
Oh, which we found out last episode is actually Muslim. Boom. Listen to that. There's so much loss right now. Oh, my God. Like, I also just realized as you were talking about your Thanksgiving, this is the first Thanksgiving that we won't spend with my husband's grandparents.
Oh.
Of the greatest generation.
Both of them?
Yeah. We lost both of them this year. And it just made me so sad thinking about the gravy in a can. That's what we had there.
I only heard about one loss. I didn't know that both of them passed away.
Yeah, both of them passed away this year. It's been a hard year.
Hard year. Well, hopefully everyone gets to celebrate.
Yeah, spend some time with family, chosen family, friends.
Eat well.
People who bring you joy.
Before we go on to our short topics, I do have a couple things I wanted to talk about.
Let's hear them.
I wanted to talk about the elections that just happened on the East Coast. There was a couple of really racist flyers that got distributed. There was one that happened in Hoboken with the race for Ravi Bala to run for mayor. He's a Sikh man. He wears a turban. He's been running for local city council politics for a while. And these hate flyers were put on all the cars. So Ravi Bala had these flyers put on the cars in his neighborhood. And then there was another flyer that went out that was super xenophobic, and that was against two Asian Americans who were running for school board. Their names are Jerry Shee and Falguni Patel, and they were running for school board, and they had these flyers that were distributed that says, "The Chinese and Indians are taking over our town. Chinese school, Indian school, cricket fields, enough is enough." Which is kind of funny, actually, when you think about it. Like, why cricket fields? Like, why? Anyways, the good news is that all three of these candidates won, even though they had these hateful flyers. So I think the tide is turning when it comes to electoral politics and how far we can use this anti-immigrant and anti-Muslim or anti-brown sentiment.
Yes, and shout out to Andrea Jenkins, the first openly transgender Black woman elected to public office in the United States.
That was also a huge win, too. And then there was a Muslim candidate who won in city council outside of Boston. There's a lot of wins this election cycle. So upon reflection of this 1 year since Trump got elected, a lot of people put in a lot of work to make sure that we actually made America great again, the right way.
Right? That makes me really happy. And even though we're in this really difficult, I don't know to call it a transition. I mean, I guess maybe the Me Too movement has been incredible. I mean, it's been
one after the other after the other.
There are times where I'm like, yes, finally. And then other times where I'm like, oh my God, no, not him too.
Yeah. I'm curious as to your perspective because you do the world of comedy. Because a lot of folks that have been targeted, I think it's kind of started with Harvey Weinstein and then went down to Al Franken and Louis C.K. And what's your perspective on all this?
Thank God. It makes my career that much more viable because, yes, it is an extremely toxic space for women. There's toxic masculinity all over the place. It is very patriarchal. It's rooted in patriarchy. And I'm really sick of having to give bookers and guys running showcases gross feely hugs and having to flirt.
Ew.
Yeah.
What kind of gross feely hugs?
As a woman in comedy, and I'm comfortable saying this on a sweeping scale, I don't give a fuck about the folks out there who have like their nuanced experience with like that one good guy. Sure, fine, whatever. I feel like this needs to be said.
Say it.
Thank you. As a woman already in any workplace, in any interaction with a man in a position of power over you, and especially with men in a position under you as a woman in power, desirability, likability is constantly an issue. And I cannot tell you how many times I either got a break or lost a break because I was or was not pretty.
Ew.
You know, and like, for all these male comics that are like coming forward, for several of them, and I'm not comfortable like saying their names either because it like that does jeopardize me.
Yeah.
I remember so many times where they didn't give me the time of day because they looked at me and they were like, I don't want to fuck her, so I'm not going to talk to her.
Ugh.
And then they would just like go off with their bros and like go have a talk. But it's like, you know what, asshole? This is my job.
Yeah.
Like, this is also my career. This isn't just your chum hour. I work here.
Yeah.
And so the day that the conversation with Jon Stewart happened, I was on BART and I just started crying. I lost it. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so angry on so many levels. I can't even take this. And I had Lindy West's number because she gave me her number when we did a book reading together.
Yeah.
And I had never texted her prior to this. Like, we didn't text back and forth and stuff. Like,
I was wondering about that. I was like, what, you just text Lindy West just like that now?
I know. I was like, oh, my God. And I'm such a huge fan of hers.
I'm a huge fan of hers.
And I was like, I don't know if this is appropriate, but I'm texting you because I'm having all the feels right now. And you're the only person who can understand it on all the levels. And then she wrote back, give me all of it. And I was like, oh, my God, I love you. And we just, like, rage tweeted back and forth. And that's how I ended up with her quoting me in her New York Times article. Because she happened to be writing the article at that moment. And I was just like, how fucking cool are you that, like, you're in the middle of writing this article and you're reaching out. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, my gosh. Because Lindy West is amazing. Go read her book if you haven't read it. True.
Yes. She has several books out. And, like, I just was, like, on BART laughing and crying and rage texting. Because why John Stewart? Why are you talking to John Stewart? Why aren't you talking to Sam B?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, why aren't you talking to, like, other female comic, like, women in comedy who you should be talking to on the subject of feminism and comedy and whether or not it's a sexist space? Why are you asking a man if it is or is not a sexist space, you asshole?
Patriarchy.
So, yeah, I have a couple of feelings about it.
There's been a couple of parallel. I feel like as this has been going on with Harvey Weinstein and the entertainment industry and the Muslim community, Orthodox community, I should say, of Muslim preachers, there's been a couple of scholars that have been outed. One is Numan Ali Khan, and another one is Tariq Ramadan. And it's been really interesting to see how those ripples have rippled out in the Muslim community. I've been watching, it's been coming up in my feed a lot. One of the interesting things is that people that were really supportive of the women that were coming out to speak against NAK, N-A-K, Numan Ali Khan, they all of a sudden were on the other side when it came to Tariq Ramadan.
Oh.
And I think it's just because people hold Muslim scholars to different levels or whatever. And I think this whole, like, having to distinguish the believing of women's voices.
Yes.
And how that's different. I mean, like, the thing that keeps coming up is, like, these men are great. They do great things. And the comments that have been coming up is, like, yes, you can be seen as a good guy and still perpetuate sexual harassment, sexual allegation, rape culture, whatever. Like, just because you're good in one area doesn't mean that is reflective of all of your areas. People are complex. Mm. People can have multitudes in them. I think the thing that I've been really reflecting on when it comes to Me Too is that we have a president in office who has, like, what, 12?
13 that I know of.
13 allegations against him. He's the pussy grabber, POTUS. And then you have all these other people that are coming out that they're apologizing, they're being called out, whatever. Like, I don't know. It's just like, as long as we have a president in office of America who is getting away with this, it just doesn't feel right to me that everyone else is getting skewered. Like, he should be the number one person who gets skewered because he's representing our nation. Just that part really bothers me. Like, I get that the culture is shifting in America because of this, but also, like, how is the president getting away with all this?
Mm. Do you find yourself wondering about the next steps? I saw one of your tweets that I really, like, you had talked about, you know, what's next?
Yeah, we're in this call-out culture, you know? We're in this call-out culture where we are dragging people, we're calling people out, we're saying that this person should be shamed and this person should, you know, not exist. But where's the transformative justice behind that?
Yes.
I've been really reflecting on, I don't know, have a lot of knowledge around transformative justice. We've been trying to practice it at work. We try to practice it in the movement.
What does it mean to practice it? What does that sound like?
It's like, instead of punishing someone, you, like, work through different steps to kind of remediate them and re-educate people and to, like, to give them the opportunity to fix themselves.
And yeah, imagine, like, that.
Yeah.
Not just ending it at shame.
And there's a big transformative justice movement when it comes to criminal reform. People who don't want to send people to jail but want to figure out ways to be able to support people so that they don't commit crimes and so that they can reform. What's been bothering me about all the stuff that's been happening with Me Too is that it just feels like a lot of yelling and a lot of bullying without that transformative justice aspect. And I just don't want to live in a society where our response to toxicity is to be more toxic. I want to live in a society where our response to this toxicity is something positive, matriarchal, healing. Like, I don't want to respond in this toxic masculine way to respond to toxic masculinity. I want to respond positively. Mm. But I don't know what that looks like. I just wish that it wasn't so negative.
Do we have, like, a standing ovation cue for right now?
Stop.
It makes me so happy to hear that, because also there is this shadow side of it when, in the absence of that transformation, which is then people who are committing sexual assault get to say things like, you know, Kevin Spacey and Harvey Weinstein did, which was, oh, I have a problem. and I'm going to go to rehab. Bye.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not what transformative justice is. You know, I've heard about like change, but I've never heard that phrase transformative justice around it. And I want to see more of that. Also because I'm very worried about like this next round of Democrats that are being taken down.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And who's in their plate? Like, what are we doing in the meantime? You know what I mean? I feel like the strategy for the last year at least has been red herring, decoy, 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 decoy to other horrors. And I don't feel comfortable saying decoy even because it is worthy of attention. It's definitely worthy of the attention it's getting.
And yet Roy Moore, as of the recording today, got Trump support on the campaign trail, even though Trump had previously said that he wasn't going to support him. Roy Moore was the one who was found dating a 14-year-old or 14-year-old girls. It's not something that should be supported. We should not support people like him. But yet,
definitely not by the president and an entire Republican Party.
So on the Republican side, you have, you know, they're like, whatever, this is fine. But then you have Roy Moore on one side, and then you have Al Franken on the other side, who is, you know, an elected in Minnesota, was a former comedian, who is just this false equivalency, I guess, that's happening right now. I don't even know if I'm using the words right, but, you know, like...
Well, they've been using all kinds of tactics. Like, yeah, on MSNBC, they were having... Roy Moore's attorney was having an interview with Olive Velshi and then tried to say, oh, well, where you come from, your people.
Which is so racist.
And a huge red herring. And I was so mad that they took the bait.
I didn't watch them taking the bait.
They took the bait because then they started to make the conversation about his racism. He knows he's being racist. He knows he's being an asshole. He used it to say, look at this shiny thing so I don't have to talk about Roy Moore being a pedophile. I can be racist right now and we can debate your Muslimness.
Ugh. That all makes me so mad. Mm. I'm sure we'll be talking more about this topic because what started as a one-day social media campaign has turned into so much more. It's going to be really interesting to see how this trickles out and also how much culture changes because of it. I hope it changes.
Me too.
I hope we get to be in those writer rooms.
Me too.
In the stages.
I hope me too means something positive next year.
Me too. Me too.
And on that note, I'm feeling some creeping Sharia right now. You ready for that?
Yeah. Okay, my creeping Sharia is this band, and it's called Creeping Sharia.
Oh, that sounds awesome. It's like Middle Easterners in a band like...
No. It's just like two non-Muslim white dudes.
Well, I mean, they don't have to be Middle Eastern to be Muslim.
No, I think they're just like European non-Muslims.
Wait, what?
But they wrote a track called Make America Hate Again. So instead of Make America Great Again...
I'm so confused.
You know, when I was part of the whole taco course scene, which is the...
Yeah, the Caminas.
The Caminas, the Althara.
And don't they have a Creeping Sharia song, the Caminas?
They have a song about Sharia in the USA.
Oh, yeah, Sharia in the USA. I love that song.
And our thing was we would always come up with these names of potential taco core bands.
Yeah.
So I feel like Creeping Sharia would have been a potential taco core band, except they're just not Muslim. The other band that is actually kind of popular in LA is called Allah Laz, spelled like Allah Laws, and it's just like an all-white like surf rock band. Their music is actually pretty good, but like if I had a punk Muslim band, it would be called Creeping Sharia or Allah Laws.
I think mine would be called Fatwa.
Yeah, I think that's a good name.
Wait, I'm still confused about this band. Okay, so it's just like teenage guys? Like it's like Justin Bieber decided to like have a band called Creeping Sharia. Is that the situation here?
Yeah, it looks like it's one person from London and one person from Poland.
Why are they creeping in on our Sharia?
I know. That would have been my punk band name, but they're in.
Okay.
And the music's not even that good.
Really?
Yeah, that's like the downside of all this. It's kind of like this weird industrial European music.
I want to put out there that if Kesha decides to like have a song called Creeping Sharia, I would stand by that.
Oh, gosh.
Kesha's Persian.
She's not Persian.
Well, it's Persian cultural music. Just putting it out there.
Zara, what's your Creeping Sharia?
Okay, so we talked about this last year.
Yeah.
Ibtihaj has a Barbie.
Oh my gosh!
And it's been in the works, and now it's coming out!
Yeah, so excited about this. Ibtihaj is a U.S. Olympic competitor.
She's the bronze medal winner!
I know. She's so amazing. She's, like, super down to earth and just super kind, too. And she's been a lot of fun on the media. So I think, you know... She deserves a Barbie. You deserve a Barbie. I deserve a Barbie. We all deserve brown Barbies.
Yeah, this starts to border into my, like, awkward Eskimoism because I'm not, like, a huge fan of Barbie.
I was a huge fan of Barbie dolls. I was working on an essay this weekend about it. That would be like a dream come true.
Really?
Yeah. Barbie dolls, if you're listening, dream come true right here. Good Muslim, bad Muslim Barbie dolls. The thing that's been really ridiculous about this Ipta Huge Barbie is this tweet from Ann Coulter.
Oh, Ann Coulter has an opinion?
Ann Coulter does.
Does she?
And she said, her tweet said, Jihad Barbie, ISIS Ken sold separately. And then Hind Amri, Libya Liberty on Twitter, her response was, Ipta Haj represented the U.S. of A at the Olympics and brought home a medal, elevating the status of the nation on a global stage. So please never tell me the problem is lack of assimilation or shared values. The problem is bigotry and hate.
Oh, yeah. That's the perfect response to anything Ann Coulter says.
Yeah, I love Hind. Follow her on Twitter.
Sometimes I'm like, is Lena Dunham on her way to becoming Ann Coulter? Are we watching that in real time?
Lena Dunham's on her way to becoming a completely hot mess.
Side note, I was thinking, what if, I'm like laughing because actually I just like stole this line from our producer. I can't, but the comedian in me can't steal material. I can't do it. But it was so funny, I have to say it.
Embrace the white man inside you and steal all the comedy.
I just think it would be really funny to like think about a jihad Barbie in like the true sense of jihad. That is like, really, it means like self-preservation.
Yeah.
And like strife and struggle.
So what would it look like?
That's what I mean. It's like, what would the Barbie that is made to proportions inflicted upon it by the patriarchy look like as a jihad Barbie?
I don't know. What?
I don't know. Email us your answers. What would a genuine jihad Barbie be?
Oh my gosh, I feel like we're going to get a lot of weird emails.
Tweet at me.
What's your fatwa?
My fatwa is against People Magazine's Sexiest Men Alive Choices.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Why did they miss the boat? You know, once, hey, I know this because of W. Kamau Bell's one-man show. He has a whole bit about People Magazine and how racist they are.
It was, I don't even understand, like, who is Blake Shelton?
I don't know.
Like, country singer? Like,
oh, yeah.
White.
I repressed
he's on The
it.
Voice or something. He's like dating Gwen Stefani. But he's not hot.
No. I mean, he's like your average white guy.
My favorite tweet about it was that he looks like the guy who is the love interest in a Christmas rom-com on Lifetime TV. And I was like, yeah, actually, I think I see that because I watch a lot of those movies and I totally see that.
Look at how happy you are to like talk about Christmas. Christmas movies. Like you're glowing already.
I'm so excited.
How many have you watched so far?
I've watched 4.
Oh my God.
It is.
Did you start like immediately after Halloween? You're like, all right, I'm ready.
I started before Halloween. I started before Halloween. Okay, so for me, I would have picked Riz Ahmed. I'm just going to put that out there.
You pick him for everything.
I do. He's really hot.
It's true.
I would also pick what you were going to say, the man of Queen Sugar.
Yes, Kofi.
I would also pick the man of Being Mary Jane, all of them. They are all so hot.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you have to watch Being Mary Jane.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, there's like 100,000 other people I could think of.
We could just keep this list going on for a really long time. I would pick all the men in all of the haikus for hotties calendars.
Oh, hell yeah.
I got one of the first copies of the calendar for 2018, haikus for hotties. And it's just all 12 Asian American hot men. And I would say all the men in 2018, 2017, 2016, they're all hotter than Blake.
Yes.
I think like everyone is just hotter than Blake.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much. Like, apart from, like, just, like, how I love that I'm already, like, thinking about this. You know what I mean? Like, I never would have thought about this before. But because of the times we live in, this aspect of it, it's very gendered. People Magazine's Sexiest Men Alive. Like, all cis men, really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like, can we have D-Lo in there?
Yeah.
Right?
D-Lo is in the Haikus for Hotties 2018 calendar.
He's fucking hot.
Very hot. Wearing a tutu with all this hair all over the place. This is a great picture. It's really, like, tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, I'm going to print it out.
Do you want to know what my fatwa is?
What's your fatwa?
So I came to my parents' house and I walked into my dad's house and there was this like weird burning smell. And I guess over the week my dad had burned something on the stove and it kind of like just stuck in the house. It's just the whole house. It smells really bad. And I walked into my room and it smelled terrible. And I was like, what? It smelled like mold. And it was so disgusting. And I was like, it's not just the like burnt smell from the kitchen. It's like this other smell. And I was just like going around and around. I was like, man, it smells like mold. It smells like dirt. It's so disgusting. And then I realized after like an hour looking around and thinking that I had mold in the wall, my sisters had bought me patchouli soap from Texas on their trip. And it was the smell of the patchouli soap that I was smelling. It was so disgusting. The soap itself smells like mold.
So wait, then that means that you were like, what is this revolting smell?
Yeah.
And they're like, hey.
We got you a gift. A, they spent 15 minutes looking for the soap for me. They said what? They were smelling all the soaps and they spent 15 minutes looking for it for me. I was just like, what? And B, patchouli is what white people wear to smell like brown people. And I was like, if I wear this soap, I'm going to be a brown person that smells like a white person trying to be a brown person.
So how do they miss the mark with you so hard? Patchouli. Well, and also, like, last episode, they had gotten you
Alexa.
Alexa, which is like a surveillance tool.
I know.
And now patchouli.
Patchouli.
It's kind of awesome.
Don't buy me patchouli.
They sort of have to, like, keep this run up. Like, I need a third one.
It's going to happen. The holidays are coming up. It's going to happen. Also, what is patchouli? Where does this come from?
I have no idea.
I just thought it was like white people smell.
Yeah, I remember the first time I smelled it and I was like, huh, this vaguely smells like my aunt and I'm confused. And then I just like moved on.
I moved the soap out of my room and then like now my room doesn't smell like mold anymore. So it's fine.
I do have like a fond relationship to it. Maybe you can give it to me.
You're going to smell it and then you're going to be like, oh. Because I don't think it's just patchouli. I think it's like charcoal patchouli.
Well, what does that even mean? What's charcoal patchouli?
It's just like mud.
Are you sure this is even soap?
It is. I've read the
All right, so we so far need a list from our listeners of who People's Sexiest Man Alive should have been.
Yeah.
We also need a list from our listeners of other terrible gifts to get Taz.
Y'all are free to buy me like nice gifts too. That's cool too.
We are still waiting for Thinx underwear. Just yeah. Putting that out there.
Thinx underwear, me undies, tampons, organic tampons, yeah. Whatever. We want it all.
All right. Awkward Ask a Muslim time.
What you got?
I know this is awkward because I don't want to talk about it.
What happened?
I'm not bi enough.
Oh, my gosh.
This is, I feel like, so specific to the Bay Area.
Yeah. I also wanted to state that when you first brought this up because I was like, I think this is a very Bay Area issue that's happening here.
There's a big poly push.
Yeah.
Being polyamorous in the Bay Area
is norm.
Yeah.
I honestly believe this.
And then as soon as I say I'm bi, other bi folks who are poly look at me like, oh, you poor repressed deer. Which is like, okay, yeah, but.
So what happened?
Well, I was in a conversation with some new bi girlfriends, and then they started asking me about my heteronormative relationship, and it just got awkward. I felt like I was just defending my own repression.
So these new friends, how did you kind of like ease out of that conversation?
I mean, I didn't really. I just kept like defending like, yes, I'm happy. Yes, I'm in a happy
monogamous marriage.
Hey, come on. Like, the whole point of marriage is you tell each other, look, there are a lot of awesome things that we're going to say no to from now on. I choose you.
That's what marriage is all about.
Yes. Like, we got together and made vows. We're going to be unhappy a lot of times, but you're worth that.
That's both sweet and dark at the same time.
Having sex with whoever it is that I want, whenever it is that I want, isn't great to me.
Oh, it's not great to me either. Trust me, as a single person, that is also not a great thing for me.
Am I missing out on a lot here, Taz?
No, I would say that having someone to do it consistently with is pretty valid. Consistency.
I mean, to be fair, like, sex with a woman is awesome.
Sure.
It just was, like, such an awkward Ask a Muslim moment because I just was, like, blushing and blushing and blushing. And it just was like, okay, what are you asking me here? Are you asking me if I'm, like, miserable and I'm, like, trapped in a...
Maybe it was their roundabout way of trying to ask you out. You know, is their, like, way of saying, like, oh, can we have a sex with Zara? Maybe that's what they were doing. No, I think what you're saying is actually reflective more of the poly culture that's in the Bay Area and how, like, no one really believes in monogamy, at least in these circles that we run in. Like, I strongly also hear you on that. I think it came up in your conversation in a bi context, but I do think that poly is practiced in the Bay Area really deeply.
Deeply.
And it comes up often whenever I'm visiting the Bay Area. In a way, it doesn't happen here. Just like that just doesn't happen in LA.
Also, my values are this. Polyamory and like having that whole conversation, because I have friends who are in open marriages, that sounds like a lot of work.
This leads into my awkward Ask a Muslim.
All right, let's hear it.
My awkward Ask a Muslim happened at the San Diego Asian Film Fest. I was, as I mentioned earlier, a judge. I was a judge at the film fest. I went on stage. They read my bio. They said who I was, which listed the podcast. So I'm just putting that out there that I think it's fair game that I talk about this on the podcast because it was literally in my intro that I have a podcast. Don't, like, fuck with me if you know that I have a podcast. It's going to be put on the podcast.
Nice.
Right? That being said, I looked really pretty. I was wearing a sari, which not many people do at these kinds of events. And then afterwards, there was dancing. And I was hanging out with a bunch of our friends on the dance floor. And one of the guys from the movie that we gave an award to, mind you, we had, like, driven down early to San Diego to watch this film. So it was like, it's a great movie about an Iraqi man and an Iranian man who had served as prisoners of wars in their respective countries.
Whoa.
And they had, like, met each other in Canada. And then it kind of, like, talks about their narratives. One is on a mission to find his missing wife. And another one is on a mission to come to terms with an abusive father. It's just, like, a beautiful movie. We gave it an award. So one of the men from that movie comes up to me and goes, "You are so beautiful." And I'm just like, ugh. And this is, like, a 50-year-old man with this, like, big, like, huge mustache. I was just like, we just gave this guy an award and he's trying to hit on me. And then so I kind of, like, deflect and, like, continue talking to my friends. And then he comes back to me and is just kind of, like, staring at me really grossly. And he's just like, "Have you found your star in the sky yet?" I was just like, oh, my God. Congratulations on your win. It was such a great movie. Take care. You know, I tried to, like, exit really, like, because I was a judge. Also, I fucking watched that movie where you have a wife and kids in that movie. Like, we watched your movie. Like, I literally judged your movie. And I saw you on screen with your wife and your kids. And then he comes back to me and goes, "Can I be your star in the sky?" I was like, don't hit on people if you're in a movie and you have a wife and kids in the movie. I know that you have a family. Like, come on.
Maybe he had an open relationship.
Exactly. I just feel like everyone is cheating and everyone is in a poly relationship now. And, like, you can watch men in these documentaries with wives and kids and they feel entitled enough to hit on women.
Did you reply back, "I'm glad that in your sky there are so many stars"?
I didn't. No, I basically just kind of, like, was left.
Have you found your star in the sky?
Can I be your star in the sky?
He said, "Can I be your star in the sky?"
The second part, yeah. He said, "You are beautiful. Have you found your star in the sky? Can I be your star in the sky?" I was just like, no, you have a wife and kids. I just watched a documentary about you.
Okay, pause. Listen, everyone listening, this is all I want for Christmas, is a t-shirt with a bitmoji of Taz and that quote. Say it again. What is it?
"You are beautiful. Have you found your star in the sky? Can I be your star in the sky?" You really want that on a shirt?
I want it on a t-shirt with Tez's bitmoji.
Oh, my God.
I want it sent to me.
But this just kind of, like, led me to think that, like, I think everyone is in a poly relationship. Everyone thinks all women are fair game and that they can cheat.
But see, and this ties back to the Me Too thing. This is what makes me nuts, is that, okay, A, I'm not cheating on my man. But here's what's awkward about this whole conversation, right? Is that, like, you can't talk about that, the absence of the value charge, without people assuming it's consent.
What do you mean?
Like, if people want to cheat, cheat.
Yeah.
If people don't want to cheat, don't cheat.
Yeah.
If I want to make jokes about cheating, it doesn't mean that I'm cheating. And it also doesn't mean come hit on me.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you cannot talk about sex as a woman without men assuming it's an open door.
I wasn't even talking about sex on the dance floor. I was just wearing a sari. I was a judge. I went on stage. I gave an award. I gave awards out. That was enough.
This is so fucked up.
So fucked up.
I can't believe that happened.
And then I was just like, wait, is this one of those, like, does he want me to be his second wife? Anyway, so is that, like, what's happening? Because that's happening in, like, Muslim culture now too, right? Like, all these, like,
dang,
creepy Muslim men are saying, like, oh, I want a second wife. I want a second family.
You're blowing my mind right now because it is really Muslim to be poly.
It is really Muslim to be poly. Only for the men, though, not the women. Just, you know, men are allowed the four wives, not the women.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true.
But no.
Just because it didn't mention it doesn't mean it's not.
But I do think about, like, how it is. You're right. Like, this is a value that is a Muslim value.
It's a Muslim value. Poly
is a Muslim value.
It also says in Islam, if your man isn't having sex with you for 6 months, you can divorce him.
Hmm.
It says that. It's in there.
I mean, I believe you. I just feel like because of patriarchy, women probably don't take advantage of that as much as they should be.
Right?
Yeah. Anyway, so that was my awkward Ask a Muslim. Another terrible hitting on story for the archives.
All right, it's time for some good Muslim awards.
Okay, so I only have one award to give, and it is to Uber.
Whoa.
I know. I'm boycotting Uber. So because I'm boycotting Uber, I feel like this only kind of makes it null.
Huh.
So now by giving it this award.
We're even.
Okay.
I see.
There was a far-right activist who complained about Muslims driving Ubers, and the person got banned from using Uber after they social mediaed it. And so I'm just like, okay, fine. Good job, Uber. I'm still not going to download your app onto my phone, but I'm no longer that upset with you.
I saw that.
Yeah.
And I remember my response was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not like a good award. It's just kind of like a, okay, you're just kind of not as bad as you used to be.
Yeah, they have a ways to go. My good Muslim award. Well, I have a blanket good Muslim award. Like, I just want to give a shout out to all of the people working on behalf of those hit by the travel ban.
That's a great award to give.
There's so many people. And I love that there are so many people that I can't list them all right now. And I would rather just like leave it open like that.
Yeah.
For everybody who's doing that work to take it into their whole hearts, because your work is directly impacting my family and I appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks everyone fighting that battle for us. What you got going on now, Zara? How's this Christmas holiday looking for you?
Oh my God, I'm going to have to deal with you
in
Christmas.
Happy holidays.
I'm going to be in New York.
What? When are you going to New York?
I'm going to New York. I'm going to be there the last weekend of November. If you're out in New York and you've got shows that I can crash in on, hit me up.
Are you going for shows?
I'm going for shows. I'm going for a conference.
You're going for a conference and I'm going for a conference too. Maybe your paths will cross. I'm going on Sunday.
Oh.
Don't come find me. I'm literally flying in and flying out for the conference.
Me too.
So you will not be able to find me at any shows in New York. And I think I'm basically spending the rest of December just watching a lot of movies, a lot of Christmas movies. I'm calling it research because I'm finally getting started on my Christmas Muslim rom-com script. So I'm just calling it all research now.
Oh my God, I can't wait for the script.
It's so good.
What, do you have like an inciting incident that you're ready to share? Don't say it. Someone will steal it.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it because someone's going to steal it. But I will say I am working with a really cool collaborator on the project.
Hmm. Is it going to be titled A Star in the Sky?
No.
Christmas Star in the Sky?
Nope.
My North Star.
Thanks for listening. Happy Christmas. Merry Christmas. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Muslim Christmas. Happy Muslim Thanksgiving. I have trouble saying Thanksgiving because of its politics, but
happy Gratitude Day. Happy Indigenous Day.
And on that note, here's to a future where me too is representative of something positive that you get to share that you enjoyed.
Thanks for listening to the Good Muslim, Bad Muslim podcast hosted by Taz Ahmed and Zara Norbash. You can follow Taz on Twitter at TazzyStar, that's TAZZYSTAR, and Zara at Zara Comedy, that's ZAHRA Comedy. The show is produced and edited by Quincy Sarasmith, and you can find us on the web at goodmuslimbadmuslim.com. To follow the conversation, please use the hashtag GoodMuslimBadMuslim. Good Muslim, Bad Muslim is a proud member of Potluck, a collective that features stories and voices from the Asian American community.
Holy
Potluck.
Potluck.
You are beautiful. Have you found your star in the sky? Can I be your star in the sky? You really want that on a shirt?
I want it on a t-shirt with Taz's Bitmoji.
Oh my God.
I want it sent to me.